Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 21, if you have it, say agape. Hear ye the word of the Lord. It says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything, And we're going to launch into this sermon series called Family Matters. Family Matters. Family Matters. There's a TV sitcom, that's called Modern Family. It's called Modern Family. This show depicts its title of what a modern day family looks like. One commentator went on to say that on this show, there's much diversity in this show, You could have a couple that are from other parts of the world as far as diversity. Not only that, it also says you can have your regular all-American family, but then it goes on to say that it's so diverse on the show that you can even have a gay couple. A gay couple. This is what this show depicts of what a modern day family looks like. Modern day family. And I hadn't watched any episode till the other day. I said, I need to at least try to look at one episode so I know what I'm really talking about. I felt in my spirit it wasn't right, but then when I watched it, it just confirmed what was already in my spirit. And in this episode, this gay couple has a daughter that they've adopted. And they had a sleepover with other girls, other little girls in this episode. And all of the little girls are confused because they're trying to figure out who's mama and who's daddy. Talking about a modern family, and you have this, I don't know what it was, but they're decorating and painting his fingernails and all of that stuff. And this is supposed to be telling us what a family ought to look like. But God has given us his word of what the family ought to look like. God established it in his word way back in the beginning in Genesis of what the family ought to look like, and it has not and it will not change. The word of God stands forever, and God has already told us what a family ought to look like. Have I got a witness? Now, as we get into this series, you have to understand something, that raising a family nowadays is harder than it's ever been before. To raise a family now is harder than it's ever been before. My heart goes out to parents who have little bitty children, who have babies, because listen to what our children are experiencing even right now. But can you imagine 5, 7, 10 years from now what this world will look like with your children right in the middle of it? And remember, it's not getting any better. But if we're going to see our children grow up to be mighty men and mighty women of God, we've got to take God's prescription on what the family looks like and raise them accordingly. Amen. Now, last week we closed out verses 18 through 20, where it says, do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, that's a waste, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Listen, the scripture taught us that we need to live spirit-filled lives amongst each other, speaking to one another in psalms and spiritual songs and hymns, and to be thankful, and we're to do that publicly amongst each other. But can I tell you something? That needs to take place in home too. That needs to take place in the house too, encouraging each other with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. That needs to start at home. It needs to start at home. And this spirit-filled life, all of this worship that we have here at church, You know, it's one thing to come to church and you're worshiping here and you're blessing the name of God and you're excited about God. That same excitement, guess what? It needs to get in the car with each one of us when we leave here. It needs to ride all the way home with us into the houses. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Listen, that same spirit, that same heart for worshiping God ought to be going right into our homes as we leave this place. Now, the first thing that you and I have to understand as it relates to this Family Matters business, and I'm going to get to the main subject, but this is part of the introduction of this whole context of this Family Matters. Here it is, first and foremost. Everyone in the family must display humiliation. Everyone, Lottie Dottie, everybody in the family must display humiliation. Humiliation, say humiliation. Humiliation. Look at verse 21. Verse 21 says this, it says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Listen, as we reflect on Jesus Christ and his humility, the fact that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Son of God, God in human flesh, the fact that he would come down and dwell among his own creation, the fact that he would be born in a stable, the fact that he washed his disciples' feet, the fact that he'd be willing to go to a cross called Calvary on Calvary's Hill and die for your sin and for my sin, the fact that he would ride in on a donkey when he could have ridden in on a stallion tells us something about his humility. His humility. And if we're going to be a family that glorifies God, everybody in the family has to live a life of humiliation. Being humble with one another. Nothing tears a family up more than pride. Nothing. Now he says to be subject, submitting to one another. This is to show by example. Example to exhibit, to demonstrate, to show plainly what humiliation looks like. And as you're humbling yourself amongst each other, what we have to do is keep Jesus in mind. You want to know what humiliation is? You got to keep Jesus in mind. What happens many times in the marriage and even in life is that we forget the humiliation of Jesus and we begin to exalt ourselves. And see, when we exalt ourselves, when one is exalted, then his view of everybody else becomes so much smaller. But that's why we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to bring ourselves down. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. The reason there are so many issues in the family is because nobody is willing to be humble. No one is willing to humble themselves. Humble themselves. And it starts with the body of Christ. It starts as believers first. That's what we have to do as believers, is to humble ourselves. That's why it's important before you get married, before you say I do, that you understand that whoever you're about to marry, they ought to be displaying some humiliation. Amen. If somebody is caught up in themselves, me, myself, and I, always about me, taking just posting selfies. Listen, it might be something to that. You don't want to marry anybody that's caught up in themselves. You ought to be looking for someone who's walking humble before God, who flies low. That's what you ought to be looking at. And when you're talking about getting married, don't marry somebody that's caught up in themselves, full of themselves. That's going to lead to issues. That will lead to issues. Listen, Philippians 2:3-5 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. This is what the scripture teaches. 1 Peter 5:5 says this, and all of you serve each other in humility, for God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. Listen, God is against those. He's against those who are caught up in themselves. Oh, and how terrible it is to have an almighty, all-powerful God against you because of your pride. because of your pride. We all must display a heart of humiliation. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. Listen, fathers, hear me. As a father, we must display humiliation. Amen. We must be humble as a father. He says, all of you be subject to one another. Mothers, display humiliation. Humble kids, children. Young people, say what up, Pastor. I can't hear y'all say what up, Pastor. Listen, you guys got to fly low. Stay humble. Don't get caught up in your pride. Mom and dad owes you nothing but to love you. You're not supposed to have a car just because you're you. You're not supposed to have a cell phone. For whatever reason, that got twisted along the way, that there's an expectation that after I get this age, I get a car and I get a cell phone. That's bonus. No, don't get it twisted. But we're all to display humiliation. Now, children, young people, I love y'all, and I don't want y'all to go home and get knocked upside the head. Do not go home and say, Mom, Dad, you need to humble yourself. Now, the other side of it is, if the Spirit of God, Mom, Dad, if the Spirit of God moved them to say it, embrace it. Amen. If the Spirit of God moved, don't hit them upside the head. Take a step back and say, Lord, you just spoke to my child. And just come on down. Amen. But listen, this is what we're to do. Everyone must display a spirit of humiliation. Now, verse 22 says, wives, I'm going to stop right there. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Wives, the Greek word for wives is gyne, G-Y-N-E, G-Y-N-E. And what he is speaking to women. That's what that word means. The word, it's a woman or women. G-Y-E-N is where we get our word gynecologist. Amen. O-B-G-Y, I don't have an O-B-G-Y-N. Amen. That's for the woman. That's for women. Amen. And the context of this passage is marriage. The context of the passage is marriage, all right? Then it says husbands. Wives, husbands. Amen. The Greek word is aner or andros, which means it's a man. Aner, A-N-E-R, or andros, A-N-D-R-O-S, which means man. We get the word andrology is the medical specialty that deals with the male health. So it's a woman and a man, just in case anybody don't know. It's a woman and a man. Amen? Now, let's move on. Here we go. The title of the day, the subtitle of the day is called The Submissive Wife. The Submissive Wife. Now, somebody's like, well, why did he start with the wife? I don't know. I'm not going to try to answer that. But he starts with the wife. In verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Here it is, wives, and everyone under the sound of my voice. Number one, submission requires subordination. Submission requires subordination. Sister, say subordination. All right, subordination. It says wives are commanded to submit to their own husbands. It is not optional. It is a commandment. Now, he's speaking to women, not just wives, but he's speaking to women. He says wives. He's speaking to women. He's speaking to those who are married. Amen. He's speaking to those who desire to be married. He's speaking to those who probably won't get married after hearing this. But it's women. It's women. And he's saying submit. The word is hupotasso. The Greek word is hupotasso, which means to bring yourself under, to come under him, the man, the husband. It's a military term that deals with rank. Anybody in the military knows that there's order. In the military, there's rank. And there are high officials, and then there are those who will come underneath them. They're subordinate to them. They're subordinate to them. And it means to be submit, to be obedient, to come under, but not just to come under, but to come under. Don't miss this. Here it is. It means to submit oneself to come under, but not just to submit and come under, but to do it with joy. To do it with excitement. To do it with enthusiasm. Joyfully submitting to him. Sarah called Abraham Lord. And what this means is that as a wife, you will joyfully, enthusiastically, jubilantly come underneath and say, Lord, with the small L, what would you have me to do? We're dealing with the family. Now, why would God command the wife to do that? It just seems natural that you would want to do that. I heard amen over here. I got faces. It's all kinds of things going out there right now. But look, why would God command that? Here it is. Genesis 3:16 says this. It says, to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire, underline that word, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Your desire. That word desire is an interesting word, because when you look at Genesis 4:7, it says, if you do well, dealing with Cain and Abel, it says, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. So God had to give this commandment because the desire, there's an inclination from the wife, because of the curse, there's an inclination from the wife to want to desire the position of the man. It's something that you didn't try to do, but it's part of the curse. It's part of the curse. He told Cain that you must conquer that desire. Sin is at your door. Sin desires to have you. And in the context of marriage, the wife, there's something inside of the woman from the curse that woman has a desire to take that position of authority or even live independent of the man. And that's part of the curse. And listen, you have nothing to do with that. You can blame Eve for that. It goes all the way back to the garden. He says, you must, that's why he had to command it. God had to give the command because that desire was there. That desire was there. And listen, women. You've got to understand the context. Paul was introducing a brand new teaching to this culture. This was a culture that you had Jews, you had Romans, and you had Greeks. And the way women were treated then, you think you've seen something? If you really look and know the context, I'm going to just listen. Jewish women were not even considered human beings. They were not even considered human beings. The Jewish woman had no legal rights whatsoever. No legal rights whatsoever. The husband could divorce a wife, but the wife could not divorce a husband. And all he had to do was just write it on a piece of paper that you're dismissed. Because she had no say-so in the matter. That was the Jewish woman. The Greek women were used as prostitutes for daily pleasure. And the wife, the only purpose of the wife was to give birth to legitimate children and to run the house. That's how they were treated. That's how they were treated. All her responsibility was to have children and take care of the house. That was it. She was not even regarded, wasn't even considered in the man's life. Amongst the Romans, during the Romans' time, during Paul's time, women were married to be divorced. They were only married to be divorced and then divorced to be remarried. This was the culture. Sexual perversion was rampant. But listen, Paul is speaking to women who had been abused in such a way. This was a brand new teaching, y'all. This was a brand new teaching, and these women had been abused beyond measure. But now that man had embraced the gospel, and that man was now saved. And what Paul was telling them is, listen, this is what he used to be. And now you need to surrender and submit and to come under him. And listen, wives, our past is our past. Amen. And the worst thing we can do is try to hold somebody's past against them and not be willing to be obedient to what God is doing in his life. In his life. And so these men are now saved. And Paul is introducing this new teaching to these wives, saying, listen, God's order is that you come underneath that man. Amen. This was now their past. But he says to do it. Wives, let me come back and say that because I want to hear a loud amen. He says to do it with joy. Say amen, sisters. Amen, amen, amen. With joy, with joy, with joy. So we understand submission requires subordination. Secondly, submission understands classification. Submission understands classification. Say classification. Verse 23 says this, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Submission understands classification. Listen, the God we serve is a God of order. God is a God of order. Classification speaks of how things or people are arranged or set in order. And as it relates to the marriage, it is God's design that the man is head. That the man is head. Jesus, by the Father's design, is head of the church. That's what it says. As Christ is head of the church, Ephesians 1:22 says this, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus Christ, as Christ is head of the church, so is the husband head of the wife. Head of the wife. God arranged it that way, and there's no question about it. Now, the head represents the one who directs. Think about it. With our heads, we're able to think. The head is the seat where everything is governed and guided and directed. And so the head represents one who directs others, and the body can only have one head. Amen. The body can only have one head. There cannot be two heads. There'll be confusion. And without the head, the body cannot function properly. It cannot function properly. So wives, women, listen, you've got to view it from that perspective that it's God's design. You can't look at it any other way. If you look at it any other way, you're going to be messed up. Amen? You got to look at it from that way. You got to view it from God's perspective and not fight it because it's God's design. God designed it that the man would be head. Here it is. Write this down, women. Don't miss this. It's not an issue of opinion, but an issue of order. It's an issue of order. It's an issue of order. Always remember that. It's not about what we think, but it's an issue of order. Genesis 3:16 says, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Rule over you. That's God's word. God's word. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman. And God is the head of Christ. Now, verse 23b says this. It says, he himself being the Savior. Now, a Savior, a Savior is one who saves from destruction. This is the role of the man. And brothers, I'm telling you now, I got some stuff loaded up for us. But right now, sisters, I got to talk to y'all this morning. Got to talk to you all this morning. One who saves from destruction is a savior. In other words, that man is a protector. He's a protector. Not only that, that man, a savior also represents one who brings into a state of prosperity. In other words, he's a provider. He's a protector and he's a provider. And not only that, a savior is also a sustainer. A sustainer. He's one who holds things together. And that's the role of that man. That's the role of that man. See, this is God's design. This is God's design. Now, I'm getting ready to drop something on you, brothers, to really help you understand, to help us understand. God gave this to me. God gave this to me. James Boyce said this in his commentary on the subject of classification, that women, listen to this, y'all, because this is deep. Women in general, they really don't want a man that they can boss around. They really don't want a man that they can just boss around. Amen. But they really want a man that they can look up to. Amen. One whose judgment that she can respect and whose leadership she's willing to respond to. Amen. Now this is where it gets tricky, brothers. In the beginning, we read about how the woman, because of that curse on Eve, desires to rule, to be in charge. Y'all with me, brothers? But really, they still want a man that they can respect, that they can follow. Are y'all with me this morning? There's a phrase that says, I can't win for losing. Now you understand where it comes from, brothers. Amen. I'm going to say it like this. There's another saying that say, man, I'm jammed if I do. And I'm jammed if I don't. Now you understand where it comes from. It comes from that. But it's God's design that the man be the head. The man be the head. The man be the head. And really, like I said, there's a show. There was a movie, Why Did I Get Married by Tyler Perry. And in that movie, her name is Tasha Smith. She has a twin. But she's constantly talking bad to her husband, just talking bad to him. Anybody ever seen that? I think his name is Michael J. White. I think that's his name. And she's talking bad to him over and over, just giving him drama, just giving him business. I mean, she's wearing him out through the whole movie. And then he got tired of it. And he put his foot down, and he went off on her, and he let her have it. And then she said, oh. And a woman really want a man, brothers, that sometimes you just got to put your foot down. Amen. In love, not trying to be a dictator, but being a man. Being a man and taking the rightful place that God has called you to take. But a woman really want a man that will take a stand. In Vogue. And Salt-N Pepper had a song called What a Man, What a Man, What a Man. What a mighty good man. And sometimes a woman just want a man. But listen, it's an issue. It's an issue of classification. So you always have to view it from that perspective that God, you designed that he be the head, that he lead. Amen. And then finally, submission involves observation. Submission involves observation. Say observation. Look at verse 24. It says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Underline that, sisters. In what? Everything. In everything. Everything. Now, to submit to someone in everything. And I looked up the word everything. And guess what it meant? Everything, but to submit to someone in everything requires some serious observation. Serious observation. Look. Let me just say it like this. There's a passage of scripture that we're going to look at. It's 2 Timothy 3:6. 2 Timothy 3:6. Listen at this scripture. It says this. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Now, this is the one time that everything don't mean everything. Y'all hear me this morning? Let me say, sisters, don't be no silly woman. Y'all hear me? Look at another sister and say, don't be no silly woman. It says this, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. Listen, obviously, there were women yoking themselves up with some creeps. So the Bible says creep. You know what a creep do? Creep. Creep. That's what creeps do. They come in stealth. And apparently, these women had yoked up with some creeps. And they were misleading these silly women. They're silly women. That's what the Bible calls them. Silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Don't be no silly woman. Now listen, if there's a man trying to tell you to submit to me, and he's going against the word of God, he's a creep. And don't you be no silly woman. Amen. Just, he loves me. Gullible. The other word is gullible, silly. Just following him, doing whatever it is. He's taking you away from God, and you just, I'm in love. He's a creep. If they're not trying to get closer to God, if they're not trying to walk with God, y'all heard me say it over and over again, for brothers that got daughters, if he can't quote 25 scriptures, tell her to put the brake pump. Don't mess with no creep. And don't be no silly woman. Amen. Listen. If he ain't trying to follow God, even in marriage, if you already married to a creep, if he's not leading you to God, put the brakes on. Amen. Don't let him lead you away from God. Amen. Same to you husbands. Don't let no wife lead you away from God. You got to take a stand. You have to take a stand. Now, sisters, if you got a kingdom man, hey, if you got a game changer, yeah, if you got somebody who's in love with God, somebody who's pursuing God passionately, you ought to join and say, baby, let's go. Where you want to go, baby? I'm right there with you. Everywhere you want to go, baby, let's go. I'm following you. You got a game changer, somebody who can change things for goodness, somebody know how to bring light in the midst of darkness. You want to get right behind them and say, baby, wherever you going, I'm right there with you. But submission requires careful observation. Observation, you got to be watching what he's doing, which direction he's going in, and saying, I'm willing to follow you. Like Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. As I follow Christ. And some of y'all say, well, yeah, I'm married to a creep. What do I do? Here it is. If he is not physically abusing you or your children, if he's not physically abusing you and abusing your children, here's what the scripture says, 1 Peter 3, it says this, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands, then even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. Y'all hear that? Without any words. Your godly life will speak without any words. Without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent life. Amen. Now listen, if it's not a dangerous situation, what you got to do is display the love of Christ. Let them see Jesus without a word. Without a word, without a word, without a word. Now, when it becomes physical and abusive, you got to protect yourself and you got to protect your children. You have to do that. You have to do that. But this is what the Bible teaches. If you're in that situation, win them over by his love. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. Now, I'm going to say this and I'm going to be through for this, for just this piece of it, of this Family Matters, the submissive wife. We have a generation of young women who really need help. Hear me, because I'm speaking to every woman in this congregation, in this church today. Titus 2:3-5 says this: older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Here is a brand new ministry at Agape Christian Church that we're going to need the older sisters to come alongside and teach the younger sisters. Here's the name of the ministry. And you guys can see Elder Wilbur Williams before you go. But here's the name of the new ministry. It's called the Submissive Wives Ministry. Thank y'all. I was waiting. But it's called the Submissive Wives Ministry. And it's for all of the ladies. It's for all of the ladies. Because the Bible says older should teach the younger. I was speaking to one of the older saint sisters, and she shared with me when I called her or talked to her. She said, I was just sitting here reminiscing and thinking about all the things my mother taught me. You know, and excited about what her mother had taught her, what was handed down. And as I study this, and as knowing where we're at as a church, knowing that we've got a younger generation, a lot of young couples having babies and all of that, that the older need to come alongside and teach the younger. And we want to create that ministry here. Because you all, the family is under attack. Divorce rate is high, just as high in the church as it is in the world. That's true. That's true. And the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he destroys the family, there's no church. God started with the family way back in the garden. He started with the family. Started with the family. And so we have to do everything we can. And I'm so committed. I'm so committed to preserving the family. And so this ministry is called the Submissive Wives Ministry. And y'all see Elder Wilbur Williams. Sister Donna's not here, but see Elder Wilbur Williams. They're over the family ministry. Immediately following this service and say, Elder Williams, I want to be a part of that ministry. I want to be able to come alongside of a young wife You don't have to be married. You don't have to be married. You could come alongside of that young wife and say, I want to love you in your marriage. I want to be there for you in your marriage because I want to see your marriage succeed to the glory of God. And then for young couples, young sisters, sisters that are married, you ought to want somebody to come alongside of you and help you along the way, to help understand us. Amen. So it's called the Submissive Wives Ministry. And God is calling the wife to be submissive. But he first says all of us, we must remain humble. We all must remain humble. We all must remain humble. And wives, understand, submission requires subordination. Submission involves classification. And submission involves great observation. Great observation. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this series on Family Matters. How we need it. How we need it. How we need it, Father. And the world has tried to come.